It is that time again. It's the Warren County Radio Bible School. Get your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 15. We're looking at that parable Jesus told in verses 11 through 24. Luke 15, 11 through 24, the prodigal son. And we read in Elam's notes that this is a pathetic, beautiful, and sublime parable. It appeals to the sympathies, awakens the emotions, and arouses the compassion of the most callous, while it lives in the wonderful inspired story of the cross, illustrating the loving forgiveness of God. It has also been embalmed in oratory, poetry, and song, and speaks in silent eloquence from the canvas. It has been called the crown and pearl of all parables. Now, we'll be looking at this parable in just a moment. Before I do, I want to remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, E.A. Elam, in the Sunday school lesson he wrote for the Sundays of November the 2nd, 1924, has this to say by way of introduction to this parable. The parable of the prodigal son may serve to illustrate the condition of the Jews and the Gentiles and such sinners of all time, but it was applied by Jesus, as stated, when he made application of his parables. We must accept it. In the two preceding parables, Christ seeks the lost. In this parable, the lost sinner seeks his Father's house. While the three parables, that's the parable of the lost sheep and of the lost coin and of the lost boy that is found in this chapter, in the two preceding parables, Christ seeks the lost. In this parable, the lost sinner seeks the Father's house. And while the three parables represent the joy of heaven over repentance. Now let's look at this parable. Luke chapter 15 and verse 11. It says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons." This certain man represents God, full of compassion and love for sinners. The younger son, the prodigal son, as just seen, represents the publicans and sinners who confess they had wandered away from God. The elder son represents the scribes and Pharisees who claim to have remained with God. We read in the next verse, that is Luke 15:12, that the younger said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of thy substance that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. The firstborn, under the law of Moses, inherited a double portion as his birthright, Deuteronomy 21:17. And therefore this younger one would inherit only one-third of his father's estate. He demanded his portion before his father's death. It had been an immemorial custom in the East for sons to demand and receive their portion of the inheritance during their father's lifetime. And the parent, however aware of the dissipated inclinations of the child, could only legally refuse to comply, could not legally refuse to comply with the application. Now, that latter part, that was a note from Clark's commentary. This boy was tired of home restraints and the correction of a father. He was self-willed, undutiful, and determined to go wrong. He wanted liberty. He wanted to spend his own money in his own way. and that was in the gratification of his strong appetites and passions. Oh, if he could only have seen the consequences in a short while. He is ragged, degraded, a profligate wanderer. See, young man, see, for he that soweth to his own flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, Galatians 6 and verse 8. Let this be branded upon your hearts. There is no exception to this rule. Many a criminal began just as this prodigal, by growing weary of home and the society of father and mother. The world is fascinating and enticing, but beware. The father yielded to the demand and divided unto them his living. In this too is seen the sinner's free will. The inheritance may represent all the rich profusion of God's goodness bestowed upon men. He permits man to use these blessings and their abilities as they choose. He sets before men a blessing and a curse in Deuteronomy 11:26-28. Life and good, death and evil, and exhorts them to choose life by loving and obeying him, Deuteronomy 30:15-20. But if they will choose death, he must allow them to do so, while in mercy he warns them of the fearful consequences. Certainly, men can live as they choose and serve whom they please. If men cannot act according to their own free wills on earth as they choose, they cannot give an account of themselves at the judgment. On this point, read the book of Romans, chapter 1:21-32. It is here that the Apostle Paul writes of those that are knowing God, and yet they glorified him not as God, neither gave thanks, but became vain in their reasonings, and in their senseless heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God for the likeness of an image of corruptible man, and of birds, and four-footed beast, and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up to the lust of their own hearts and to uncleanness, that their bodies should be dishonored among themselves. For that they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile passions. For their women changed the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working unseemliness, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was due. If even as they refused to have God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unmerciful, who, knowing the ordinance of God, that they that practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also consent with them that practice them. In Luke chapter 15 and verse 13 we read, not many days after, the young man gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living. He had time to reflect upon his determination to go, but nothing had changed his purpose. So not many days after, he gathered all together, took his portion, departed into a far country. Where he went, we do not know. Any place of sin is a far country, far from innocence, far from purity, far from righteousness, and far from God. Think of it. He left home, its dear amenities, its sacred purity, its hallowed influences, and its loving protection against sin. He left upon the high tide of appetite, passion, and worldly pleasure. He sought the society of the dissipated as more congenial to his present taste and desires. But what he had did not last long. One travels rapidly on the downgrade. He wasted his substance. That is, he threw it to the winds with riotous living. Luke 15:30 gives us an idea of the meaning of riotous. Having devoured thy living with harlots. It means dissipation, revelry, licentiousness. These publicans and sinners had thus turned away from God. But all sinners, whether they be of this class or not, are wasting and devouring the blessings and privileges of God, wasting their time and talent, life and health, body and soul, in the service of sin. This parable presents to us a sad picture. In Luke chapter 15 and verse 14 we read, "When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the country, and he began to be in want." This is the sad side of this picture. It is enough to make us weep to think of a dissolute, ungrateful son thus squandering the hard earnings of an industrious, economic, and fond father. But soon, all was gone. The downgrade was steep, and he traveled with accelerating speed. Just when he reached the bottom in the valley of destitution, a famine arose. Sin is always a famine to the soul. The world with its pleasures and emoluments and glories cannot satisfy the hungry soul. Of this, Solomon in his varied experiences cried, "All is vanity and striving after the wind." And the text says he began to be in want. His money was gone. His seeming friends had forsaken him, and he had nothing to eat. Those who help to spend one's money in riotous living will forsake him and curse him when his money is gone. God and his children take him up and help him in destitution. We read in Luke chapter 15 and verse 15 that he went and joined himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. He is yet too proud to repent and return to his father. So he joined himself to one of the citizens of that country. That shows this was not his country. But he sent him to the fields to feed the swine. This was an unlawful and disgraceful calling among the Jews because the hog was an unclean animal. His sin sinks him deeper into shame and disgrace. And we read in Luke chapter 15 and verse 16, "And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." The husk were the pods of the carob tree, just a little smaller than our honey locust. The pods do not open. They contain a large quantity of sweet mucilage that are used for feeding cattle, horses, and pigs, and sometimes as food for the very poorest people. It seems in his extremity of hunger he ate this food of the swine. No man gave unto him. Trying to satisfy the soul on the pleasures of sin is like feeding on the husk. We'll return to this in our next lesson.